Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. We'll go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 14. We may be a couple of other places. I'm really, in my mind, I'm fairly sketchy on what he wants to do tonight. And so I'm leaving as little to predetermination as I can. I just know where to start for sure. I really thought it was interesting how the Dave's service went today. He had a start in Luke 14, which is really not an itching ears message. I mean, you know, Luke 14 is, let's look at it here a little bit. I'll give you a little more time. Because he just said a few simple things out of Luke 14. Of course, here he has taught that and expounded that, and we know pretty well line upon line what Luke 14 is about. But that was his introduction, really, into giving the testimony from Florida. And it took a little while. You know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. It took a little while. Hey, there's a connection between Luke 14 and the miracles. Because if those of you that might not have heard, Dave just got back from a week of meetings down at Bronx Church in Immokalee, Florida. And in one of the services, a man who had come in on a crutch, and everybody knows this guy. I mean, everybody knows him, and he's had back surgery and really got worse after the back surgery. And he's just been really bad for years. End result, after prayer, he started walking around a little bit and went to the back of the church. And eventually he walked out the door, and Dave thought, he's gone. Come to find out, pretty soon a report comes and says, hey, that guy is doing cartwheels out in the parking lot. And Dave thought they meant like, okay, he was just shouting. No, they went outside, he's literally doing cartwheels in the parking lot, running around the park. And the whole church went outside, and they're watching. Then he starts telling friends and neighbors, and so it brought more people to the meetings. And so that's the end result. That's what we're after, that and much more, right? Trouble is, you don't get there without starting here. Oh, Lord. So Luke 14, let's read it a little bit. See, and the other verse that we may or may not get to tonight is very familiar to you. That in the last days, people won't endure sound doctrine. They're going to heap to themselves itching teachers with, itching ears. And they want to hear what they want to hear after their own lusts. Tell me how I can be happy. Tell me how I can be more blessed. Tell me how I can have more things. Tell me how this and that. But discipleship, prayer, fasting, not so interested in that, see. So it took me a little bit, but I got the connection, what was going on there. How many of you think Dave has suffered a few things? Yeah. Anyone want to swap with him? No, me either, He's been through it. And so that's what Luke 14 is about. So let's go ahead and go there. And I'm going to tell you in very small detail. I'll give you a little report from Tahlequah, where I was last week. And we're family. And I'll just go ahead and tell you straight, for those of you listening too, I'm going to be very open about some things. And I'm more interested in your growth than I am my fame. or position or anything else. You need to know the truth. And so I'm going to do my best to tell you. So anyway, where Dave started here is in verse 25. It says, there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. Now here's a way. You've got great multitudes following you, and this is a way to increase your audience, right? Preach this message. Yeah, that'll do it. If any man come to me and hate not his father... and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters. Yeah, and his own life also. Even your own life. He cannot be my disciple. Well, he didn't leave much wiggle room there, did he? He didn't say you could do it with a lot of effort. He didn't say you could do it, it'd be hard. He says, no. If you don't love me more than you love everything else, including your own life, you are not going to be my disciple. That's hard. And that's bad enough. Then he adds to it. This is a crowd-thinning message right here, isn't it? This is not an itching ears message. And, as if that's not bad enough, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, well, he cannot be my disciple. Now, let me ask that question that many others have asked. What is the single purpose of a cross? What's the purpose? Crosses, those crucifixion crosses were only put up for one reason, one purpose, and that's death. I think I'm going to call this a good crowd-thinning message. But that cross, you're going to find out, as you follow him, has many forms. As the Holy Spirit is not just your teacher, really, he is also your trainer. And he'll teach you, but then eventually, you know, you've got to, if you want to be a football player, you do have to learn the plays. I mean, that's teaching X's and O's and all of that. But eventually, you got to get out and do some laps. You got to do some push-ups. You got to start running the plays and say, "Well, I want more love. I want touchdowns and love." Good. Give your pickup away to your worst enemy. Y'all have heard that story. Why? That's not the message I want to hear. You know. Well, I want miracles. Good. Fast for 6 months. Well, that's what he's had me do. Now, it's not a total fast. Don't run off. It's not a water fast. Trust me. I will say, if you'll do a water fast only for 6 months, you will not have any more trouble with your flesh because you'll be dead. Don't do it. No, but he's had me on a Daniel's fast, sort of. It's kind of a modified, but it's basically you don't eat the good stuff. You know, if it tastes good, spit it out. Mostly veggies, you know, not even the good veggies. That does not mean you can have French fries. You know? Okay. I try to get away with, see, I told you. I try to get away with, you know, now, you know, only in America can they take something really good for you like green beans and make it bad for you. Now they deep fry green beans. Dip them in batter and cook them in grease. Glory to God. Tastes good, but that's not the kind he's been letting me have, okay? And it's been working, you know. It's been working. Well, take up your cross. See, that's going to take many forms, I'm telling you. You're going to have dying to self in all different forms. Sometimes it's physical, like what's going on with me right now. I have learned more about fasting this year than I ever knew before. Sometimes it's a dying to pride. It's dying to self-esteem. Sometimes it's dying to low esteem. A lot of people use their low esteem for an excuse to get away with all kinds of ungodly stuff. Well, get over yourself. Get in here and pray. Let the Holy Spirit kick your tail around the room a few times. Low esteem. You're a child of the living God. What are you talking about? That's an excuse. Quit it. Oh, yeah, that crowd-thinning messages. But now see, what he means here, though, is you know, let's even go back to the first one. Family. If I was to follow my family, especially on my father's side, and I love my dad, and I love my dad's gone on to heaven now. Now he knows tongues are for today. But anyway, you know, I'm the black sheep. I'm about the only one that I can think of out of that whole side of the family that speaks in tongues, and they all think I'm crazy, you know. And if I esteemed them more than I esteemed the truth, if I wanted to look good in their eyes, then I would not have followed him on into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, that's the kind of thing he's talking about. And sometimes it can be even within the house, you know. Sometimes it's not always easy. I thank God I've got a wife now that she supports me, always has, even when she thinks I'm wrong. Did you hear that part? And she'll give me good counsel. And I'm getting wiser the longer I'm in this at listening to my wife's good counsel. I am getting better. And she will admit that part, but that doesn't mean I always do. But when I make a decision, my wife is with me to the end. To the end. I mean, she will still say, you know, if we wind up sleeping under a bridge and wearing gunny sacks, I'm with you. I got a helpmeet. Glory to God, see. But now, if I was not in that position, and not all spouses are, it can be either way, husband or wife. You can't use that as an excuse. That's what he's saying. You can't use that as an excuse. Well, my wife doesn't want me to go preach. What did Jesus say? Well, he's telling me to go preach. Well, what are you going to do? Go preach. And his own life also. That's a hard one. I do think the longer you're in this, the more your will lines up with his will. Okay. But that doesn't mean it's lined up all the way. I've had so many decisions where there was that war, that same war that Jesus had. And I used to be real condemned till I realized he had to go through it too, you know. Not my will, but thine be done. Boy, how many struggled with that? See, I've struggled with that. But I do know my will is aligned with his a lot more than it used to be. And I hope I would love for it to be 100%. I'd love for it to be me, I and my Father are one. I think that's the ultimate goal, you know. Anyway, so you can't love your family more than him. You do have to be willing to take up the cross. The first level of that here at this church, or anybody that comes here, start praying in tongues. That's the first level. And the first stronghold is to quit falling out of praying in tongues. Isn't that right? First impasse. And then you add the other elements. You learn to meditate the Word of God. You start adding fasting. And really, it comes, for me, it has come more as the Holy Spirit's directed me, you know. And boy, does he have long suffering with us, though. Long suffering. I cringe now when I look back at, you know, that it's the mercy of God that Dave would let me preach here while I was still smoking, you know. It just astounds me that he did, and it astounds me that I smoked while I preached. And he's still long-suffering with me. Now it's been, you know, more than a decade ago since any of that. And I thank God for that, but boy, did he put up with me. God help us put up with us. Let us be long-suffering with each other the way you're long-suffering with us, you know. Wouldn't that be a good, you know? And that's part of the cross thing, you know. In verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king? Well, let's see. Let's start. Let's don't go by that one too quick either. To me, that one there is when the devil starts touching your stuff. It's one thing, you know, to get past family squabbles. It's another thing to get past where, you know, fasting and that type of thing, where you're now enduring in prayer. See, well, the enemy says, well, let's start touching their stuff. And by whatever means, you know, you get laid off your job. My wife's sister was just driving home yesterday with one of her grandchildren in the car, and driving at night, and a couch that was in the road, just on 71st Street, a couch, swerved to miss it, rolled the SUV, totaled it out. Thank God neither her nor the grandchild was hurt at all, just some scratches. But just messing with you, you know, just stuff. You know, you're just driving home and there's a couch. I mean, a couch in the road. I mean, just, you know. So the enemy starts touching your stuff. And we've been through waves of that. And eventually, yes, sir. Yes, sir. The one he's bringing to me now, the one where he really touched Dave's stuff. You all know about the house thing, you know. I mean, the house is burning down. What's funny, Dave used to talk about, he would joke about it. It says, I don't care if your house burnt down and you're sitting on the curb with nothing but your underwear and your socks on, can you still worship God? Well, we got a chance to find out. This is like 3 in the morning, icy January day or wintertime anyhow. And Dave and me and couple other people in the vehicle there, and the firemen are there, and icicles are hanging from where the water was, and there's just a little bit of the house left, and I'm going, I was one of the last ones there, and I'm, oh my God, you know, I'm all like panicking, your house, Dave, your house, and I get in the pickup, and Dave says, do we have coffee for Gary? And I'm like, Dave, and he goes, Gary, yes, what? What do you call a cow that can't give milk? And I'm going, I don't know, and I don't care. Well, look at your house. And he goes, Gary, what do you call a cow that can't give milk? I don't know. What do you call it? He said, well, it's either an utter failure or it's a milk dud. I never saw anybody with the peace of God, absolute. Like, you would think he just stepped out of the throne room of heaven, and maybe he did. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, that's why I'm following the guy. You know, I'm following this guy. I've never seen him yet try and control anybody. You never hear him talk bad about anybody. Never hear him complain. Even when he really began bringing the church out from underneath legalism regarding giving. And the giving dropped by more than 2/3. And it never recovered. It still never recovered. How in the world? Well, I won't go there. But Dave just continues to love. Never says an unkind word. Not willing to change the truth. You talk about getting your stuff touched. You better count the cost ahead of time. Otherwise, when it gets bad enough, you'll cave. Well, maybe we shouldn't have took him out of the whole law. Maybe this part is still for today. That's what 99.9% of the preachers do. They'll go get the parts from the old covenant that they need to support their church. Better count the cost, no matter what it is. See? Okay, verse 31. This is... We're just going through very quickly. What king goeth to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. I'd read that and I'd go, what fool? What fool? I got 10,000. That guy's got 20,000. What fool even considers going to war? You know? Well, you better count the cost ahead of time, see? And really, those numbers are not by accident. You notice it's 2 to 1? See? Under the old covenant, you had 2 to 1 against you. Your flesh and that sin nature, that death spirit, they would come against you 2 to 1 to defeat you. But really, the truth of the matter is now, we can be the majority if we renew the mind. See? Even God himself couldn't do anything about our flesh. Did you ever notice that? He just declared it dead. It can't be really renewed. He just declared it dead. He's just going to give us we're just going to discard this one and get a whole new one. See? But 2 to 1, it can be 2 to 1 in your favor now if you renew the mind, because your spirit is already for God. And your mind can be renewed too, so hey, we can go to war now and win. All right, I'm coming to set all that to get to verse 33. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsakes not all that he has. Crowd thinning message. Say, I want to be your disciple, Jesus. Good. First thing you got to do. The word forsaketh here. Now, he did tell the rich, somebody said, sell all you have and give it away. And he did give that specific instruction to the rich young ruler. He didn't really give it to everybody. But I think what he's saying here to everybody is ownership transfers from you to him. That's the way I read it. I don't own anything. You remember in the book of Acts, when that first wave of evangelism and salvation was going through, and 3,000 and 5,000 were being added to the church, and there was such a revelation of they're not of this world anymore. We're children of our Father. We're really from heaven. That says no man even considered anything that he owned to be his own anymore. Now God did, because Peter told Ananias, he said, while it was yours, was it not in your power what to do with it? In other words, God's not requiring this. But why did they feel that way? You know, they'd go and sell land that they had and just say, here, give it to anybody who needs it. Just give it to anybody who needs it. Why? What was prompting that? There was a not of this world mentality. I am a child of heaven. This is not my home. Everything here is a resource for the kingdom here. Use this money from this land. You know, we got to have that mentality also. Whatever the king asks for, in my view, in my opinion, is already his. See, it's just, that's what I think he means here. Forsake it. Otherwise, how are you ever going to do Luke 6:38? How are you ever going to do Luke 6 when that evil guy is walking away with your stuff? Well, you got to understand it's not your stuff. It's his stuff. Okay, we can't. I want to talk about Tahlequah just a little bit. I did get to go down there and teach. And remember the setup, how the Lord set me up on that one. Earlier that summer, I had received an invitation to preach a conference with a famous minister in another country. And I couldn't even believe the guy knew my name, you know, but he did. I'd only seen him once, and that was probably 12 or 15 years ago. He doesn't even speak English, but he contacted me through a son that he has in Miami who does speak English. And he was inviting me to a conference. And if you go to his meeting, he's very well known in the country where he is. He's known for miracles. He's actually preached here once many years ago. Knows Dave very well. And if you go to his meeting, it's going to be well attended. It could be hundreds, could be thousands. Plus, then it would get your name known that he approves of you. And, you know, it's going to be a launching pad if you're looking to build a ministry. That's the kind of invitation that you accept. And I was in Columbus, Ohio, doing some meetings up there when that phone call came. And it's not always that way. Sometimes I do have to go pray. I don't always know right away if that's what the Lord's will is. But boy, this one was just immediate. And I just knew immediately I'm not supposed to go, not this time. You know, not that I would never. But I said, I just thanked him so much. And I meant it. And I said, please don't lose my phone number. You know, maybe I could come at another time, but I just can't come this year. And so it ended very friendly and everything, but I just thought it was interesting what happened, you know. And then later, after the conference here, the October Power and Prayer Conference, there was a lot of prophecy that came during that conference, okay? And so maybe a week or two after the conference, Tim and Dave and I were just having a little informal meeting, which we don't get to have those very often, but we were going through the prophecies. You know, just we wanted to make sure that whatever the Lord said, that we were paying attention and that we weren't in disobedience on anything that he said. So the way it was set up there, there's Dave and Tim, and I'm reading, they had me read the prophecy, and then every now and then somebody would say, okay, let's talk, you know, this and that. Now, the timing of the Lord, he knows Gary, and he knows I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and he deals with me that way. So get the picture. Here's Tim and Dave and me, and I'm reading the prophecies, and I can't quote it verbatim, and I didn't bring it with me, but the line basically says, I was reading out loud these words with them listening, and the words were something like, I want you to go when you are invited. Ring, ring. I'd forgot to turn off the ringer on my phone. And I answered it real quick, and it was a pastor that I know. I've known this man for 30 years, more than 30 years. And I had forgotten to turn the speaker thing off. So the speaker's on. And he tells me his name, and he's now got a little church in Tahlequah. And, of course, Dave and Tim can hear this. And he's going, remember when I asked you a long time ago if you'd ever come and preach at my church? And he had long, like 2 years before, you know. I'm asking you, can you come? And I had just read the line that said something like, and when they invite you to come, I want you to go. Tim and Dave, they lean back like that. They look at each other like, you think he's going to get this? You think he can put two and two together here, you know? So I said, yes, I'll come, you know. Now, he didn't give me the date right then when he wanted me to come. He said he'd call me back. Well, he did later, and we set up November 10th. And again, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I know I need to quit confessing that. Don't send me a letter. I already know it. So he called me back, and it was November 10th that I was to go down there and do two services on Sunday and then one on Monday night. And it didn't dawn on me till later. That was exactly, if I would have accepted that invitation in the other country, that was the same day that conference there was to start. I'm telling you, you have to die to agenda, aspirations of ministry, your plan. You know, I just want to be where he wants me to be. Now, I wish I could give you a testimony that we had lame people doing cartwheels in the parking lot. I know exactly why the Lord sent me to Tahlequah. And I know he gave me exactly what to preach down there. And I think I did exactly his will. I think I did really good. Now, I'll probably post them soon, maybe this week, in our On the Road section. If you listen to them, you'll think, well, those are pretty mild. And also you'd say, well, you've taught that here. Mm-hmm. Well, they needed to hear it there. Okay? And it was the mind of the Lord for the people that were there. And there's only about 15. And we did have a few more Monday night because some preachers came who had to be at their own church on Sunday, but they came on Monday night, so... Now, what I said all that to say this, I think through all of that, I perfectly obeyed him. I really do. And I felt good. I left it. Now, I want you to hear about my reward. You want to hear about my reward? Remember when Paul and Silas went to Macedonia? And, was it Lydia? That family got saved, and cast the devil out of that girl, and they were just obeying God. What was their reward? Wound up in prison. Well, I didn't get thrown in jail, but let me tell you what happened. I felt great. I mean, I had the best time down there. Oh, and by the way, they took me to the catfish kitchen. Oh, now here, I hadn't eaten anything but the Daniel's fast stuff for so long. But on the road, what is the mandate? Eat what is set before you. Oh, glory to God. Because at this place, it's one of those family-style dinners, you know. And you come in, they just start setting down platters of country-fried catfish fillets and fried hush puppies, brown beans, you know, and chow chow. If you don't know what chow chow is, you missed half your life. And, oh, and strawberry dumplings. Glory to God, you know. Man, my eyes would just roll back, you know what I'm saying? For this time, I was really glad for eat what is set before you. But we had a great time, and I was strong and healthy and felt good, and got left there. It's about an hour and a half drive. Man, I'm feeling good. Now, from that hour and a half, by the time I got to my home, I had such a fever. My teeth were literally chattering. I was shaking all over. I was having a hard time getting the keys in the door. I mean, it's like this. Sue helped me get into bed. I just kind of fell into bed. The next morning when we took my temperature, 104.9. Now, that's fairly high, you know. If it had gone much higher than that, I'm headed to the emergency room. And don't think we're not doing everything we know to do. Sue's rebuking. I'm rebuking. You know, we're taking aspirin, trying to keep the fever down, you know, and everything. And we're rebuking away, and calling myself healed, and I'm telling you, it's not getting much better. Monday was that way. No, excuse me, Tuesday was that way. I finished Monday night. Tuesday was that way. Wednesday, I'm supposed to preach here Wednesday night, and I'm still running 103 fever. So I finally had to call Tim. I said, I don't care if you have to just close the church. I'm not coming. Somebody, see if you can find somebody, you know, that can help. And I think Doug came to the rescue. Glory to God, rode up on his white horse and saved the day. Here he comes, you know. So, praise God. And I'm better, but you can tell I'm still not 100%. So now, you think the enemy comes against my mind on things like that? Dave calls me Friday. I'm sitting there with about 101 fever. Maybe it was Thursday. I think it was Thursday. He calls me. I couldn't come and preach Wednesday night, too sick. Dave calls, and he's telling me about the cartwheel guy. And I'm thinking, no, this is great. God sends you to Florida, and people get healed. God sends me to Tahlequah, and I get sick. This is my great reward. Wonderful, you know. And I've searched. I can't think of a thing that I did to bring it on myself. I think it's just an out blatant attack. Well, so what? Would you do it again? Absolutely. I'd do it again. Oh, by the way, I called. I was hoping to redeem myself. I thought, well, maybe everybody got sick down there. Maybe there's something going around. I called. Nope, just me. Just me. I'm telling you, sometimes you better count the cost. And I'm not predicting, you know, that you're going to get sick when you go. Dave didn't come back sick, and I've gone lots of times and didn't get sick. But I'm just saying you can't be moved by the circumstances. Paul and Silas got thrown in prison. What would most of the church say today? Well, you missed it. Yeah, you missed it. You know, they did not miss it. They were right exactly where they're supposed to be, doing what God wanted them to do. You can't judge by those things. You better count the cost for ahead of time. You're going to obey him no matter whether it touches your body, whether it touches your stuff, whether it touches your family. What matters is, are you serving him? Are you where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 2 Corinthians 12. Now, this is a little different. A little different. Because the one thing if you go through the list of things, we're going to look at Paul and his buffeting by that messenger just for a second. And he plainly tells you why that messenger was, and let's don't say messenger, it's a demonic spirit. It's a high-ranking demon. Probably not by himself. He probably had hordes of minions with him. Their assignment, stop Paul. Why? Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Again, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says that phrase twice in one verse, which is very interesting. So you cannot miss the reason that God wanted Paul's ministry exalted. Everywhere Paul went, churches were established. People got saved. People got healed. People turned from worshiping idols to they would turn to worshiping God. God was using Paul's ministry everywhere. God's plan was to exalt him in the sense of using him. And to the devil's point of view, Paul was the most dangerous man on planet Earth. We have to stop this man at all costs. So he picks out one of his prime devils, a messenger, a demon of Satan, to come and stop him. Well, how did he do it? All you could do is back up into the previous chapter. That devil would stir up every kind of trouble everywhere Paul would go. Now, the one thing that you don't read here is sickness. You don't find that he was ever attacked with sickness. I think I was. But that's not the only way the devil can attack you. Look at all this stuff. He says, verse 25. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. 23. I'm sorry. Yeah. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In other words, I worked harder than any of them. In stripes above measure. Do you think Paul spoke evangelistically? You think he was, being extravagant there? No. He probably couldn't remember how many times. Stripes. In those days, the lash, Couldn't count them. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times. He remembers how many times from them. There was other stripes besides with the ones he got from the Jews. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times, thrice, was I beaten with rods. And I did some research on that one time. It was a fairly common punishment. They'd put your feet in the stocks and they would take rods and they would break the bones in your feet. The idea being, you're not going to go anywhere and do this anymore because you're not going to be able to walk. You do know he kept going. God would heal his feet. That's something. Once I was stoned, 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. A night and a day. Boy, we go by that too quick. What kind of thoughts as the first shark fin goes by? You think there might be any thoughts of, you really missed it this time, This is your reward for obeying me, Here's this crowd-thinning message. What's your reward? A day and a night. I was in the deep. Shark fin. Nice sharky. In journeyings, often in perils of waters and perils of robbers and perils by my own countrymen. Perils by the heathen, perils in the city. It just goes on and on. See, this is really the amplification of Mark 4. Mark chapter 4. What did he say? The sower sows the word. Let's say it a little different. You get a revelation of the word. You get a revelation. The enemy, that persecution and affliction, it says it comes for the word's sake. He's trying to destroy that revelation in you before you can use it to destroy his kingdom. And you think, well, one day I'll graduate from that. No. And you're at the wrong church if you're hoping to avoid this kind of stuff. Because it's because of the abundance of his revelations that this super demon, maybe that's not a good word, I don't know, this assigned demon, I mean, I'm sure Lucifer didn't look around and pick the weakest one, But anyway, assigned to stop Paul for the abundance of his revelations. Well, I've seen some assignments against our pastor for the abundance of his revelations. And all I've ever seen it cause it to do is go deeper into the love of God. Deeper into the love of God. Most men, including me, well, Pastor Dave is not most men. He is not most men. Yes, sir. Come on, Daddy Brito. And remember how Dave linked that up this morning. I just thought, well, Dave, it was the Holy Spirit linking it up, Luke 14. Because he didn't hardly say anything. He just said a few little things about Luke 14. And the rest of the time, what was going on? Abby's falling off her chair laughing. Sarah's gets a healing, laughing, going on all over the place. It was joy. And see, that's what's going on in heaven. Even when the enemy is doing everything he can to stop you. And the guy is still doing cartwheels in the parking lot. figuratively what I'm saying. And how many lives is it going to affect? How many lives? How many people are going to read Dave's book because of that? How many people are going to get filled with the Holy Ghost because of that one event, see? We have to, yes, sir, there it is again. Okay, yes. Okay, Back to chapter 12. We're going to finish here. For so many years, I did not get this. So many years. And I may understand this better as I mature more. So don't, I'm giving you the best I have right now, okay? See, right after he gives that, let's read it again, verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Now notice that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Boy, I did not get this for years. I mean, I came up with all kinds. I'm glad I didn't preach all the thoughts that I had about this verse. You know, I've learned to sit on a revelation for a while. I thought you can just, and I've heard wacky preaching from this, you know, all kinds of stuff. We won't even talk about any of those, okay? And finally, there's a real connection between here and Luke 14. There's only one way that God could have answered that prayer. And I didn't get it for many, many years. God, make this stop. Make this stop, God. There's only one way to do that. You're going to have to leave the ministry. You're going to have to leave the ministry. If you quit, which is what the devil's after you to do, you can get that level of persecution off of you. But if you're going to continue, better count the cost, boy. You better count the cost. Well, from all the prophecies that came forward during the conference, we are closer than we've ever been to this revival. And it is time to count the cost. Better count the cost. And that's the response I expected from this crowd thinning message. Well, it's sobering. And it's not what people want to turn, it's not what they're turning their TVs to. It's not the messages they want to hear. At this point, it's not where the 40,000 member churches are. But it will be when there's hundreds of them doing cartwheels in the parking lots. And the blind see, and the lame walk, and the deaf hear. You're going to see the tide turn. Amen? Amen. Amen.